O'Brien is instant in season and out of season. She got the call this morning, and so thank you so much. You always do an excellent job. That's right. Thank you, O'Brien. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to begin reading verse 23. That is page 933 in your pew Bible. And if you're using your cell phone, like some do, we're using the New Revised Standard Version. So if you're using something different, that's fine. It may sound a little different, but anyway, that's where we're at. All right. Let's read God's Word together. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body. This is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." Thank you so much. You can be seated. We have been following grace and doing a series on grace. We started a few weeks ago and really looked at what is grace. And then we looked at prevalent grace, prevenient grace. Then we looked at justifying grace. Last week we looked at sanctifying grace. Well, John Wesley taught a great deal about grace, and he talked about the instruments that God uses, and he talked about three primary ways that God shows us his grace. Wesley called them the means, M-E-A-N, means of grace. And this is how he defined them. "By means of grace, I understand outward signs, words, or actions ordained of God and appointed for this end, to be the ordinary channels whereby he might convey to men preventing, justifying, and sanctifying grace. The chief of these means are prayer, whether in secret or with the great congregation, searching the Scriptures, which implies reading, hearing, and meditating thereon, and receiving the Lord's Supper, eating bread, and drinking wine in remembrance of him. And these we believe to be ordained of God as the ordinary channels of conveying his grace to the souls of men." So Wesley taught that there were three means of grace, three primary ways in which God shows his grace. It is through reading of the Scripture, and not just reading the Scripture, but ingesting the Scripture. It is through prayer, and he said whether that is personal, private prayer, or prayer when we come together as the body of Christ, and then communion, partaking of the elements that represent the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. Here's another definition of the means of grace. The means of grace refers to all the ways by which Christians grow stronger in their faith and grow in the grace of Christ. They are God's instruments to convey grace. including prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. So today, as we prepare our hearts to come to the table of the Lord, we understand that this is God's grace. That communion is one of the means of grace, one of the ways in which God shows us His grace. It is a picture of the grace of God. We take the bread, we take the cup, and they are symbols that we hold in our hands, that we ingest into our bodies. Communion is grace for the spirit. It is grace for the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions of man. And it is also grace for the body. It is not a religious ritual. It is not something we check off on the calendar as taking communion. This is the grace of God. When I hold those elements in my hand, I'm reminded of the prevenient grace of God that we see at Bethlehem. We hold in our hand the elements of the body and the blood of that baby born in a manger. It also symbolizes justifying grace, because that body was broken and that blood was shed at Calvary, where grace was poured out and salvation and restoration back to being sons and daughters of God was offered to us. And it also shows us and symbolizes sanctifying grace, because we're reminded as we hold those elements of the body and the bread of Christ that Christ has ascended back to the Father, is now seated with the Father, that He ever lives to make intercession for us, and He has sent the Holy Spirit to abide, to reside within us. So as we come to the altar and we take those elements, it shows us prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. It is a clear picture of the grace of God. And in our text today, we saw that Paul gives us instruction about taking the Lord's Supper, about taking Holy Communion. And in that, he gives us a warning. He said this, "For all who eat and drink without discerning the body, eat and drink judgment against themselves." That word discerning is translated from the Greek, and it simply means to separate, to make a distinction. So what Paul is saying is that when we take those elements in our hands and we have come to the table of the Lord and we're ready to partake of them, they are to remind us. They are to say to us and give us a distinct message. They are to separate us, and they separate us from just the ritual of going through communion. They separate us from just going through the liturgy of communion, just going through the words and not thinking about what we're doing. It is His body, Paul said, that is broken for us. It is His blood, Paul said, that is shed for us. They say to us that this is not just a common meal. This is not just a common time. This is not just a religious ritual that we go through on the first Sunday of every month. But this cries out to us, and it warns us, don't get caught up in the ritual of this time, that this is a time for us to reflect upon the grace of God. This is a time for us to partake of the grace of God. This is a time for us to remember the cost of the grace of God. This is a time for us to rejoice in the grace of God. Holy Communion allows us to separate ourselves from religion. It allows us to say, this was not done so that I could join the church. This was not done so I could just be part. This was done to pull me out of darkness, to free me from the power of sin, to set me free from the entanglements of sin, and to wash me white as snow, to set me on the rock, to put me on the path that God has for me, to open up to me not just the grace of God at communion, but to open up to me all the grace of God that He has for me. I can remember growing up in church where we had communion, and it would always be the fourth Sunday of every month. And the ushers would come, and they would have the broken up saltine crackers and the Welch's grape juice, and they would pass it out. They'd pass the plate down, and you know, you'd take one and take the other. And I can remember, as a little boy, I would reach for it. My mom would pull my hand back. No, you can't take that. You're not old enough yet. But I can remember those services. And it was a time in which there was just a realization that what we're doing right now is distinct from anything else we do in this church. This is not about anything else. This is to say to us, Christ died for me. And that is what Paul is telling us. Paul was not caught up in whether you eat a saltine cracker or bread. He wasn't caught up in whether you're drinking grape juice or wine. Paul was saying that when you come to the table of the Lord, it is different from anything else you do when you gather together. When you think of all the things that compose, that make up our gathering, there's fellowship, there's sharing, there is prayer, there is worship, there is the Apostles' Creed, there is the praying of the Lord's Prayer, there is lifting up our needs, the needs of others, there is greeting each other, there is the sharing as we read God's Word together, there is listening to the sermon, and then there's going out and rejoicing the grace of God. But Paul said that this time, this component of God's grace is distinct and separate from anything else you do. And if you look at it as this is just part of what we do, he said, when you do that, you bring judgment on yourselves. Because this time together is when we come to God's table and we sit there as the redeemed sons and daughters of God. And we realize, I am here not because of works that I have done, but only because Christ died for me. So I'm going to ask you to take your hymnal and turn to the front to page 15. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me today as we do something that we very, very, very rarely do. Let's stand together. Down in the middle part of page 15, where it says a service of word and table 3, we're going to begin at Thanksgiving and Communion, the Great Thanksgiving. Page 15. And let's begin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father God, we give thanks to you today. You are God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. You have given us life. You have spoke and the world began. You have shown us your grace and your power. We thank you, Father, for who you are. We thank you for the power that you have. And we thank you, Father, that you have showed us that power by sending us your Son, Jesus. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We do thank you, Father. And we lift our voices today with the voice of the angels. And we sing out and declare, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Lord, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and gave his life willingly and freely, who went to the cross and offered himself as our sacrifice, as our propitiation, who paid the price to ransom and redeem us. Blessed is he who has come in the name of the Lord. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so, Holy Spirit, make this real to us today, that these elements that we will soon hold in our hands are of the highest offering, the highest sacrifice, the highest price. Holy Spirit, may we, as we partake of these elements, lift up our hearts to you and lift up our hearts to the Son of God and lift up our hearts to God the Father in praise and worship and adoration to you. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let's again recite the prayer of the Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You can be seated. We are getting ready now to, the ushers are preparing to begin to offer you the invitation to come to the altar and kneel, where you'll be served the elements of communion. Once you're served, please hold on to them until please take them, but stay here until there's a blessing spoken over you, then you can return to your pew, and then let's just remain in a spirit of, in an attitude of praise and thanksgiving as others are served. So the ushers are going to invite you now.